Amen. Help him, God.
Thank you, Brother Hyatt. What a blessing to be here tonight in the service. Not only tonight, but the other nights as well.
Amen.
We appreciate the privilege to be here. Brother Hyatt and I were talking as I came up the road on Monday, and I couldn't remember, and I don't think he could either. When was the last time I was here? It was either 2 or 3. We wouldn't for sure years ago. But I appreciate the privilege to be here in these days. And since we came the first time way back in the 90s, it's been a blessing to be here throughout the years. And I appreciate that opportunity. And thank you, Pastor, for your kind invitation. Appreciate your prayers for us. And before we got here and all down through the years and then while we've been here, I felt those prayers. And I appreciate so much the privilege to be in service with you. And it's a joy tonight to be here and be in the service. And see some of these children that's grown up and serving the Lord. And what a blessing that is.
Yes.
I thank the Lord for it.
Yes.
And a blessing to see those that are older still serving the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Thank the Lord for that as well.
Yes, brother.
So I trust you'll pray for us as we go down the road of life. The Lord would help us.
Yes,
I want to read from Hebrews chapter 12 tonight. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 tonight. I guess we'll go ahead and read verse 2, 1 and 2 as well tonight since they're both together. Then we'll try to preach as the Lord might direct us tonight. And I certainly need your prayers in the service tonight. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. Once you find your place, if you're physically able, if you're willing to do so, I would invite you to stand with us. And we'll just reverence the reading of the Word of the Lord, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer as after we read. Here's how the Bible reads in the first verse of Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with the patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Amen.
Precious Lord, we're thankful tonight for the reading of the scriptures, for the good day you've given us, for the health and strength. I appreciate, Lord, that you've blessed us with every temporal and natural blessing that we enjoy. We're grateful for it tonight. I thank you for all the spiritual blessings you bestowed upon us. I thank you, dear Lord, for the privilege to be here with Brother Hyatt and his people this week. Pray your blessings on him and his dear wife. Bless him as he leads this flock. Give him the desires of his heart. Give him knowledge and wisdom as he goes in and out. And Lord, how to lead them. I pray you'd bless them as they follow him as he follows you. I pray, dear Lord, that you'd touch the need of every heart and every life that is here tonight. Would you reveal yourself to every one of us that's come through those doors tonight and reveal to each one of us our need of you. And Lord, I pray you do that great eternal and effectual work that only you can do in the heart and in our life tonight. Have mercy and help us. Do not leave us like we've come, but help us, Lord, tonight. May we leave here better. May we leave here drawn closer to you. I pray you deal with the sinner tonight. Awaken them and bring them to a place of repentance and faith.
Yeah.
Stir the saint.
Yeah.
Revive us again. Oh, dear Lord, tonight.
Yeah.
Reprove us, correct us, instruct us tonight.
God.
Oh, dear Lord, I pray above everything, your name would be glorified and magnified among us. Lord, what you're privileged and pleased to do for us tonight, we'll thank you for it. We ask everything in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. And amen. Thank you so kindly for standing as we read and then prayed together. The apostle writing to the Hebrew believers, I think Brother Logan expressed on Monday night basically what the writer of Hebrews was trying to do was to write to this first century church and instruct them and encourage them. My friend, because of the difficulties that they were facing in their life, and I'm trying to encourage them. And so I think he put it well. Brother Mitchell used to say it this way. Here was a New Testament church on New Testament ground, but didn't have a New Testament. And so that is the early church, or the first century believers. And so years had slipped by since they had first trusted Christ. And though they endured, according to Hebrews chapter 10, a great fight of afflictions when they were first illuminated, my friend, as the years rolled on, they found themselves still under great persecution and facing great problems. And matter of fact, it got so that they were so discouraged and despondent that they, my friend, gave a thought to turning back to Judaism, turning back to temple worship, turning back to the sacrifices that they had come out of. And maybe by doing that, it would cause some of the pressure that they were under, some of the persecution they were enduring, to be lightened off of them. But the apostle is writing to them and us through the first 10 chapters and explains to them, or my friend expresses to them, that the new covenant, or the better covenant, my friend, the New Testament that they had come to was far better and greater than what they had left. And the reason why, it was on better principles and better promises and on a better person. For that person is Christ. And all the promises of God in Him are yea and amen. Amen. And then He proved to them, and my friend, I think proved to them throughout the Scriptures, that Christ was better and greater. Amen. Better and greater than the angels. Better and greater than Moses. Better and greater than Abraham. Amen. Thank God. Better and greater, my friend, than the Aaronic or Levitical priesthood. For he was a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, and ever liveth and abideth to make intercession for us. Amen. So he said to them, what Christ has done, my friend, is he has went into the heavenlies and appeared in the presence of God for us. And what you were looking at under Moses, that was just the blueprint, my friend. Thank God, that was in heaven, amen. Thank God, and as long as this earthly tabernacle was here, my friend, the way into the holies was not yet made perfect. Oh my, but when God done away with the first, He established the second, and it's an eternal thing, and it's an everlasting thing. Hey God, and it's, will not be taken away. Hey, bless His name. Thank God. Oh, that was just a type and a shadow. Amen. Thank God. Oh, He was only, my friend, showing forth what was to come, what Christ was to do. Amen. And the high priest had to go in once a year and offer blood, my friend, on that day of atonement for his own sin and for the sin of the people. Amen. And it never done away with sin, only set it forward. But Christ entered the Holy of Holies with his own blood. And he didn't have to offer sacrifice or blood for his own sin. But he offered sacrifice. He offered a blood for our sins and purchased eternal redemption, eternal salvation, and has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Amen. Oh, I bless His name for all that. Hallelujah. He said, that's what you've come to. That's the covenant you've entered. That's the New Testament you're under. And it was put in force by the death of the testator, who was Christ. Amen. Oh, bless His name. Oh, my. And then He said to them, as He closed out chapter 10, after giving them all the examples and proof of how this was a better covenant and a better way, a new and a living way. Hallelujah. And the blood of animals only purged and sanctified the flesh, but the blood of Christ purged our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Amen. Oh, bless His name. Oh, my. Then He said to them, the just shall live by faith. Amen. He said, how you're going to do under this New Testament and what you need to do now with the circumstance you are under, how with the situation that you are in, with the problems and the persecutions, my friend, that you are enduring, amen. He said, what you need to do is live by faith. It's by faith you trusted Christ, and now you need to live by faith, for it is the just that live by faith. Amen. And then in chapter 11, he turns from all that of comparing, amen, the old and the new covenant, the old and the new testament, amen. Oh my, and he in chapter 11 gives them examples of those that lived by faith. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. My. Told them what faith was. Told them about it could not please God. And then started with Abel and went through those Old Testament characters, my friend, and showed that each one obtained victory, pleased God, my friend, overcame. Oh, hear me. Thank God. Ran their race, finished their course by living by faith. And he said, that's what you'll have to do.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I looked, passed one day a sign on a church out. You know how they put signs out sometimes. Some of them are so carnal, I can't hardly stand them. Amen. But this one was true, and it said this. Faith does not make it easy. It just makes it possible. And I want to tell you tonight, he wasn't saying that it's going to be easy now because you live by faith. But it is possible. It makes it possible. Our charismatic friends, God, have gone off the deep end and talk about faith as you name it and claim it, or you declare it and it's so. That ain't faith at all. Hey, God, in other words, faith makes it easy. Faith doesn't make it easy. Oh, hear me, friend. And faith, I may not make it so, or you can't see it tonight in your life. But thank God you keep believing and living for God and acting upon His Word. Hey, God, and you'll find yourself one day at the end of your course, at the end of your race, you'll find yourself down at the finish line. Hallelujah. And realize you have got there because of faith. Amen. So when he gives him those examples of faith in chapter 11, he comes to this chapter that we read this verse tonight, and I done took too long already getting to where I'm going. Hallelujah, I got a lot to say. Now it may fizzle out in 5 minutes, but it seems like now I got a lot to say. This is the way it was used to when I had a radio broadcast. When I was pastoring, I had a radio broadcast 4 times a week. 3 times during the week, I had 15 minutes. Sunday morning, I had 30 minutes. And sometimes 15 minutes wasn't enough to get started. And sometimes 15 minutes seemed like 15 hours, and I couldn't think of nothing else to say. Hallelujah. And we'll turn it back to the good announcer this time. Is anybody listening? Amen. But he comes to this chapter 12 and he says, wherefore? That is based on what I have written to you. Could have said all 10 chapters, but I think primarily he's saying in chapter 11, wherefore? And there's many definitions of that word, wherefore. But tonight, let me just say it means truly. Are far then, truly seeing, are far then seeing. Amen. Seeing we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Amen. Seeing, oh my, wherefore seeing? Based on what I've said to you, based on what I've told you. Amen. Wherefore seeing we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Then let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Amen. because they had quit running the race. They had got discouraged. Thank God, disappointed, and quit running the race. Oh, y'all hear me? But he said, you can finish, and you finish by faith. And he said, here's how all the others did it.
Right.
Right. Amen.
Amen?
Hallelujah. And I noticed that he says to them, truly are far then, seeing we're surrounded. That's what that word compassed about means, encircled.
Right.
Amen. Enclosed. Amen. All around.
Right.
Amen. Yeah. Now, you see what they felt like. Was they were surrounded or encircled or closed in by their persecutors. Amen. By their problems. Amen. Oh my. By their sufferings, by their situation. Amen. And they were. I mean, things had changed for them. They had been that crowd that was around Pentecost and after. And I'm telling you, thank God, for those first few years in Jerusalem, it was like heaven on earth nearly. Amen. For the believer. Amen. And all those miracles were taking place. The manifestation of the Spirit of God. Peter's shadow would even heal folks. Amen. But things had changed now. Thank God. The dispersion had took place. Thank God. And my friend Stephen had been martyred. They had scattered everywhere. Are y'all listening to me? And the saints that had sold everything and had all things coming got plumb poor. Amen. For they had sold it out and looked for the kingdom to come. Then, and he had not yet come. And so they said, what are we going to do now? Hey God, and God then had also turned away from the nation of Israel and quit dealing with him. And there wasn't many Jews now getting saved. It was all Gentiles now. And the church moved its nucleus, hey God, or its head or its hub out of Jerusalem over to Antioch. Amen. And they said, what are we doing? We have no value now. Hey God, are we not important any longer? But the apostle said, hey, you still got a race to run. You still got a course to complete. Hallelujah. Thank God. You still got a life to live. God's, you're important to him. Hey, hallelujah. So go on and live by faith.
Amen. Yeah, church. That's good.
Amen. Amen. What are you surrounded by tonight? Amen. What feels like has enclosed and encircled you tonight. Amen. Oh my. Well, I'm trying to get there. Amen. Oh my. And he says, wherefore seeing we are surrounded, are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And notice how he puts this. He didn't say we're compassed about with a cloud of witnesses. He said we're surpassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. That means it was vast. Vast. Hallelujah. And as vast as your problems and your situation and your sin and your sorrow and your suffering, amen, is, he said, I'm telling you, whoo, thank God, there's something surrounding you. If you can look up and see it. Hallelujah. Amen. And he said, do you understand this? That all of them died in faith, not having obtained the promise, but saw it, amen, and held the promises close to their bosom, because they without us could not be made perfect. Do you realize what we're in on tonight?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Is anybody hearing me tonight? Woo! Bless his name. Hallelujah. Man, if you and I could really see what we're in on tonight, what we've got birthed into, what we're a part of, amen, thank God, and that this life don't bring an end to it, it's an eternal kingdom. Oh, bless his name. I tell you, we'd be happier in what we are tonight. Hallelujah. Well, bless his name. We're just pilgrims and strangers. We're just passing through anyhow. Hallelujah. Heaven is our home, amen. Hallelujah. And there's a country. Hallelujah. Thank God, which we're desiring to go to. And there's a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Hallelujah. There's a place that God's not ashamed to call us brethren. Hallelujah.
failure. Oh, are y'all hearing me? I've never been there, but I'll be at home when I do get there. Hallelujah. I won't be at home in this world, but I'll be right at home. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And you think about it tonight. We might be, if we look real good, we might could just about see it tonight. It's just about here. It's like Brother Lance Carpenter years ago talking about when he was in the military. And he said, it's way back years ago and they didn't have, of course, no cell phones. They didn't even have calendars. Amen. The individual calendar, they might have had one somewhere in the barracks or, amen, in the sergeant's office. And he said what they would do when they was getting ready for a person, his time was up. He said they would send out 30 days before and say, in 30 days, amen, you're going to be discharged. 30 days, you're going home. 30 days, your time's up. Your service is over with. Amen. And he said, since we didn't have a calendar to mark it off or no way of keeping, he said, we'd take a stick. Hallelujah. And he said, we'd put a notch on that first day when that news would come. And he said, then the next day we'd get up, we'd notch it again. Hallelujah. Amen. And he said, sometimes the men would be gathered around and talk about problems that was going on amongst the men or problems that was going on amongst the ranks or problems that was going on with the battle or the war or the enemy or whatever, our world itself. They're talking about the problems. And then they'd all give their opinion about what ought to be done or what they thought about it or how they felt about it. And here's an old fella, he ain't saying nothing. Thank God, he ain't commenting no way, shape, form. And they look at him and then say, what about it, sir? What about it? Thank God, Carpenter, what do you mean? And said he'd just reach in his pocket and pull out that stick. And he realized just another notch or two, he'd be out of here. So it didn't matter much to him. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, hallelujah, tonight, we got a short stick. Amen. Hallelujah. So don't get to worried and called up. Hallelujah. We're fixing to be out of here.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Bless his name.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And so he says you're surrounded by a great cloud, a vast cloud of witnesses. Now notice he called it a cloud. He could have said you're compassed about with a great number of witnesses. But he put in a cloud. Amen. And them Jewish folks knew about clouds. Amen. Hallelujah. And clouds, amen, would speak to them or testify to them about God's power, God's presence, God's providence. Hallelujah. God's protection. You could just go on and on if you could. And the first thing that it would mention would be they would think about Genesis 9 after Noah comes off the ark. And the Lord said, no, I'm going to put my bow in the cloud. And that bow means I'll never destroy the earth again with a flood. Hallelujah. From now on, I give this witness, I give this covenant, I give this promise, hallelujah, to you and to your seed, thank God, and to all the beasts, amen. This will never happen like this again. The earth will never be destroyed by a flood. Woo! So every time you see a bow in the cloud, every time you step out after a storm and see a bow in the cloud, amen. Hey God, you remember God, my friend, made a promise to mankind that he'd never destroy the world again. Hey God, with a flood. Oh my goodness. Alive, I don't know. I bless his name tonight. And I'll tell you something, as you look at that bow, and you're looking at it, you remember his promise. But while you're looking at it, you well remember this. Somebody else is looking at it. He said, when I see the bow, not just when you see it, but he said, every time I set the bow in the cloud, when you're looking at it, remember God's looking at it. Hey, you remembered his promise? He's remembered his promise. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And so he's saying this about a cloud because they remember that cloud. And then when you get to Exodus chapter 13, hallelujah, and they've come out of Egypt, have the children of Israel, hallelujah, and they don't know their way to the promised land. They don't know their way to Canaan, hallelujah. They've been, thank God, down in Egypt for over 400 years. Hallelujah. And at least the last 100 or more, thank God, they've been slaves. Thank God, oh my. Thank God, beat down, oh my. Thank God, abused, misused, in bondage. They didn't know how to find their way anywhere. Thank God, but lo and behold, thank God, here's a pillar of cloud. Hallelujah. The Bible said to show them the way. Thank God. And a pillar of fire by night to give them light. Hallelujah. They remember the cloud. Hallelujah. Amen. Bless his name. Amen. I believe it, don't you? Hallelujah. Oh, I praise his name for it tonight. Amen. And then they remember reading. Amen. As they went to synagogue every Sabbath and then or have it read to them. Or they went to temple. They remember reading out of the, because they read out of the law and the prophets. Amen. Hallelujah. And so remember reading out of the prophets. Where Elijah sends that servant to go see if there's any sign of rain, because it ain't rained in 3.5 years. And he prayed it might not rain according to James, and it didn't for 3.5 years. Then he prayed again.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. And so up on Mount Carmel, he's praying for God to send the rain.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Are you listening?
Yeah.
Amen. And the Bible said he sends a servant to see if there's any sign of rain.
Yeah.
On the horizon, and the servant says, it looked like it's looked for the last 3.5 years.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. He prays again, gets his face between his knees. He prays, sends him the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, and the sixth time. And the servant comes back and says, it looks on the horizon like it's looked for the last 3.5 years. There ain't no sign of rain. He prays the seventh time. Thank God. And the servant comes back. And he said, is there anything? He said, I don't know if it's worth mentioning or not. But over yonder, way on the horizon, I saw a cloud about the size of a man's hand. Woo! Hallelujah. Elijah said, go tell Ahab, you better get off of this mountain. Thank God, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. You mean by a cloud about the size of a man's hand? He said, I recognize that hand. That's the hand that sent me to Ahab. That's the hand that fed me by the brook. That is the hand that put meal in the barrel. That is the hand that raised the dead boy. That's the hand of God. That's rain. There's a storm on the way. Oh, good gracious. Hallelujah. Woo! Amen. So they remembered that cloud. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And maybe some of them heard Peter, James, and John tell about their experience on the Mount of Transfiguration. And they said, Jesus took us three up there. And said, while we was up there, Moses and Elijah appeared to us. Hallelujah. And said, we talked with them. And Peter said, and I spoke up and said, it's good for us to be here. We ought to build three tabernacles, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for Jesus. And we'll just stay up here. And he said, and the Bible said, a cloud overshadowed them. And Moses and Elijah was gone, and a voice spoke out of the cloud and said, "This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." Woo! He said, "Y'all are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses." Surely some of them had heard the testimony of the disciples. And they said, after our Lord's resurrection, and after he appeared 40 days and 40 nights, said, "We was out yonder at Bethany one day, and he was talking to us." And he said, all of a sudden, he just got higher and higher. And the clouds received him out of our sight. Hallelujah. Amen. And said, two angels appeared and said, "You men of Galilee, why stand here gazing in the heavens? This same Jesus that went away will come again in like manner as you've seen him go away." Hallelujah. And he said, "You're surrounded with a cloud." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless his name. Oh God, help us tonight. Amen. Oh my. Oh yeah, in Revelation 1:7 said, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and the kindred of the earth shall wail because of him." Anybody hearing me tonight? Bless his name. Hallelujah. Oh my. Are you surrounded with doubts and fears? Are you surrounded with sin and sorrow and temptations and trials, suffering, problems, persecution? Amen. Thank God. Oh my. Are you surrounded with things you say, "I don't know how in the world I'm going to ever get out of this condition I'm in"? I'm telling you, look above all of that tonight, and you're also surrounded with a cloud, a cloud of witnesses. There's many that's went on before you and I. Hallelujah. And we've obtained like precious faith as they did. Hallelujah. And we can run this race and finish this course by faith. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh my. And he said, "Truly, for then, seeing we're surrounded with a great cloud of witnesses." Amen. Hallelujah. Oh my. Oh my. He's saying to them, hallelujah. "You're compassed about, seeing we're compassed without. Let us lay aside every weight and sin that's and run with patience the race that is set before us." Amen. Oh my. Now he said, "This is a great cloud of witnesses." They are bearing witness. The mentor used to say, a witness is a person that knows something about the case. Know some facts in the case. If you were called to our legal system tonight, and they swore you in as a witness, and they said, "Did you see this event that took place on such and such date?" And you'd say, "No, I didn't see it, but somebody told me." And the judge would say, "Dismissed. Step down. You can't be a witness. It's hearsay. Second hand." Hallelujah. These in chapter 11 are not second hand, not hearsay. They lived it. Woo! They are witnesses. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh my. And they are witnesses. What are they witnesses of? They are witnesses, first of all, that their confidence in God was not misplaced. See, that's what these folks was having trouble with. Their confidence in God, they felt like had been misplaced. Their confidence in this new covenant and this new testament and the Lord Jesus had been misplaced. That's why they gave an idea of going back. Besides, what they had come out of was a lot older than what they'd entered into. It was far more familiar. And it was far more ritualistic. Amen. Thank God. And they knew exactly what to do and when to do it. Amen. No questions, but this was a life of faith. And every day was different.
That's it.
You're right. Is anybody hearing the preacher tonight? Hallelujah. And he says to them in chapter 10, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Some of you want to cast away your confidence. That is your boldness, your outspokenness, your assurance. Amen. You want to cast that away. He said, but don't throw it away. Don't cast it away. It has a great recompense of reward. And you may not even get it here, but it'll come. Hallelujah. It's there. Hallelujah. My reward is with me, Jesus said, to give to every man according as his work shall be. Works ain't got a thing in the world to do with my salvation, but it has something to do with my reward. And yours too. Hallelujah. So he says to them, don't cast away your confidence. And these witnesses show them that their confidence in God was not misplaced. Their boldness, their assurance. Hallelujah. Is anybody listening to me? Brother Logan read on Monday night out of this same chapter 10 of the book of Hebrews. I think he started with verse 19, if I'm not mistaken. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Oh, don't cast that boldness away. That confidence away. And when you feel overwhelmed and when you feel like you can't go on, he said, remember, you can walk in to the holiest because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God. Hebrews 4 said we have, thank God, boldness to come to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. That's assurance. Thank God. Hallelujah. Bless His name. Because I'm His child. Because, hey God, I'm born again. Because I'm part of the family. Hallelujah. Because I'm sanctified. A positionally I have. A place, God, a place up yonder. I can enter into the holiest and say, here's what's going on with me. And have y'all noticed that a little time or some time or a great time spent in the holiest will change how things look on the outside before you went in there? And yet not a thing has changed. But you're looking at it from His perspective and His eyes instead of yours. And it sure looks different. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, help us, Lord. Thank you for helping us. Help us, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, my. So don't cast away that confidence. Amen. Have faith. Live by faith. Amen. Not by emotions, not by feelings, not by circumstance. Live by faith.
Yes.
Not how you feel. Not what the world says.
Right.
Not the flesh and the devil. Thank God what they say. It's what He said. You can live by it. You can bank on it. Your confidence is not misplaced. It's by faith. Ephesians 6:16, above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. That's your confidence. That's your assurance. That's your boldness.
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. Is anybody hearing me?
Right.
And it's not the rest of the armor is not important. It's all important. But the most important is the shield of faith. Is anybody hearing me? The shield of faith can cover all parts of the body. Is anybody hearing me? Above all, the shield of faith. Above all the others. Take the shield of faith. Why? It's your confidence. It's your trust. And by it, you're able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. They would have a shield made. Wood, maybe have brass around it, the outside, then have woven across that wood would be some type of leather. And they would anoint that or put oil upon that. Is anybody hearing me? Is anybody hearing me tonight? Amen. Pray and read your Bible. Listen to the preacher. Worship God. Obey the Lord. It'll keep your shield oiled and anointed.
Yeah.
And the reason they did that, of course, was to keep that leather from cracking. But also, when an arrow was shot, if that shield had that oil on it, it would slide off. Is anybody hearing? Not only would it slide off, but they also used some type of something or another that was combustible when they fired that arrow. They did it more so at building cities, you know, but they would sometimes do it and they would turn it loose. And so if that shield was oiled good and was anointed good, is good and wet,
yeah,
it put out that fire,
right,
that come and hit it. Amen. See, if you keep up that shield of faith, if you don't cast away your confidence, when the fiery darts come, you see, not only do they hit us, but if they've got that fire in them, they burn.
That's right.
They gain ground in us. That temptation gains a spot in you. The dart or the arrow may just be the temptation, but if you it's got that fire and you don't quench that, use that shield of faith,
yeah,
it'll grow.
Right. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Man's tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed.
Yeah.
And lust hath conceived, it bring forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Is anybody still with me tonight? Hallelujah. So what he's saying was every one of those in chapter 11 put their confidence in God. And when it wound up, it was not misplaced. And yours is not either. Amen. For you have need of patience that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Amen. They're looking for him. They look for him immediately to come back and set up his earthly kingdom. And it's been 60 plus years and he still hadn't got there. What are they to do? He said, you have need of patience. Amen. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. It's been a little while, but he ain't tarrying. He's on schedule and he'll be there right on time.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Second of all, they bore witness that a man may fail, but the Lord will never fail.
Right. Yes.
In chapter 11, we have what we call the Hall of Faith, or the Heroes of Faith. And they are. And in this chapter 11, all that it talks about is their faith. And they're giant men and women.
Yeah. Yeah.
in the faith. By faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, by faith Isaac, by faith Jacob, by faith Joseph, by faith Moses, by faith Joshua, by faith. And they're all giants. Rahab's in there by faith. They're giants in the faith. And all chapter 11 does is magnify their faith. But you read the rest of the Bible, it mentions their failures. And every one of them have failures. Is anybody hearing me? Hallelujah. And man may fail, but God never failed. Hallelujah. Somebody said, I don't believe I can have faith and failure at the same time. Oh, yes, my beloved. Hallelujah. And by the way, God never will magnify your failures. He's an honest and a true God. He'll mention your failures. He don't look the other way at your failures. He don't take a blind eye to your failures. Amen. He don't cover over or gloss over your failures. Thank God. He puts it out there bluntly and plainly. Are y'all hearing me? The flesh is weak. Are y'all hearing me? Hey, God, he sent Nathan to David and said, thou art a man. Hey, God, he will mention your failures. Oh, but he never magnifies them. But he will magnify your faith.
That's a fact.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Bless his name.
Yeah, bless the Lord.
I know I need to quit. And I'll tell you, he's had to magnify mine. Because it's been so little much of the time that he had to put out his magnifying glass to magnify it. Woo! Amen? Hallelujah. But if he said, if you got the faith of a grain of a mustard seed. Hallelujah. And he said to the disciples, oh, you have little faith. Didn't say they didn't have none. He said, you got little faith. Woo! But he rose and rebuked the wind. Are y'all hearing me tonight? Thank God. And he don't operate. Oh, my friend, or not operate on what faith you don't have. He operates on what faith you do have.
Yes,
hallelujah. Hallelujah. If thou will, thou can. Oh, Lord. Hey, God, if thou canst do anything, hey, God, help us. Help my son. Hey, God, my son that's got a deaf and dumb spirit, help us, Jesus said. Hey, God, it's not me, it's you. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believe. I believe, help my unbelief. Oh, that'll be our prayer tonight.
Amen.
We might fail, but he never fails.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Yes, preacher. Yes.
They were witnesses of the sufficiency of his grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. His grace is sufficient. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh my. That's getting from God what we don't deserve to get from him. Amen. Mercy is him withholding from us what we should get. Or what we do deserve. Grace is getting what, thank God, we don't deserve. Hallelujah. Oh my. And he's rich in mercy and he's also rich in grace. Hallelujah. Oh my. Woo! Hallelujah. Don't you let the devil tell you, your own flesh, or nobody else, that when you stumble and when you fail, that his grace can't reach you.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what you do. You just ball up somewhere in a corner. Amen. Or somewhere under the brush pile.
Yeah.
Somewhere in the back 40. Somewhere in the back bedroom. Somewhere another. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And go to asking him to forgive and confess who you are and what you've done. And just see if his grace ain't sufficient.
Yeah.
Just see if his strength is not made perfect in weakness. Is anybody listening to preach?
Right.
Trying to preach to you. Best to know how. Hallelujah. His grace is sufficient. Amen.
That's right.
It is sufficient. Divine grace. The sufficiency of His grace.
Yes.
That's what they bore witness of.
Yes.
And then, and we done mentioned it because man fails, the Lord never fails. The faithfulness of God to His promise. The Lord has never made a promise that He has not kept.
That's right.
Because it is impossible for God to lie.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Impossible. And also the Scripture says cannot.
Right.
Impossible and cannot.
Right.
That pretty much settles it, don't it?
Yeah.
So if He ever says it, it's done.
Right.
Not on your schedule. Not in your time frame.
Right.
Not like you'd like for Him to do it. But He'll do it. He will keep His promise. Hallelujah. I do believe that, don't you? Oh, I praise the Lord for that tonight. Amen. And so, He's faithful to keep His promise. I know I mentioned Brother Mitchell several times. Please forgive me. And I heard him say it 100 times. And if God wants to, it's impossible and He cannot. But if He could, and if He did, you'd never know it. Because He created the world, and it's by Him that it consists.
That's right.
It exists because of Him, and consists because of Him. It operates because of Him. And so if He lies, He ceases to be God. If He ceases to be God, all of this goes out of existence. We go out, so we'd never know it if He did lie. Is anybody hearing me tonight? He is faithful to His promise. Hallelujah. Sinner, He's faithful to His promise to you. All that the Father give me shall come unto me, and they that come unto me, I shall in no wise cast out. That's His promise. You don't have to convince Him. Are you hearing me?
That's right.
Hallelujah. I don't think you even have to beg Him.
No.
Hallelujah. You may have to get in condition for Him to do it.
Right.
But you don't have to convince Him. He's willing.
Amen.
He's ready. He wants to.
Amen.
He will. If you will, He will.
Yeah. That's right. Amen.
And He's promised to the saint. Hallelujah. Yeah. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Lo, I am with thee always, even to the end of the earth. Amen. And all these in chapter 11, by faith. By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. By faith, by faith. And no, it wasn't easy, but it was possible. And it's possible for you tonight. And based on what they were able to do by faith, He said, seeing their example, or hearing them witness, since they bear witness of all this, let's lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let's all stand tonight.
Amen. Amen. Amen.